Please turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Begin reading at verse 35 and going to chapter 19, verse 10. Chapter 19, verses 1 to 10 will be our text this morning. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the city of Jericho was very beautiful. There Herod Archelaus built a palace with beautiful gardens. Jericho was a place of palms, cypress, and balsam trees. And it was a rich city since the balsam trees were farmed for their valuable sap that was used in sweet-smelling ointments and perfumes. And the area was well watered so that the land around the city had good crops. And further, it was made rich because it was a center of trade. Caravans passed through Jericho on their way from Egypt to Jerusalem and then down to Damascus and back again, making this city a major trade center. It was also the place pilgrims stopped before ascending to Jerusalem to attend the mandatory feast that took place three times a year. It is not surprising then that we would find in this rich city a chief tax collector named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus' job was to make sure that the tax collectors that he was in charge of did their job. In his work, he became very rich. But boys and girls, you must realize that his money came in part through being a thief, through stealing from other people. He, you see, would overcharge people on their taxes. And then after paying the Romans what he owed them, he pocketed the rest. As Abraham's descendant, one of God's people, he had broken covenant with the Lord by stealing. Now Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is in town. Jesus was going through Jericho up to Jerusalem for the Passover. There is a determination in Jesus' steps as he plods and goes day after day, pace after pace, coming through Jericho to Jerusalem. There is a determination because at this Passover he would die on the cross for people like Zacchaeus, people like you and like me who daily break God's laws. With Zacchaeus coming to Jericho, though, there is hope for this descendant of Abraham to be saved from God's anger and live in joyful, restored friendship with God forever. As we look at Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10 this morning, we hear God teaching us that Christ brings salvation to the house of one of Abraham's lost sons. Christ brings salvation to the house of one of Abraham's lost sons. And this salvation is, first of all, arranged by God. Secondly, rejected by some. Thirdly, received by faith. And fourthly, affirmed by Christ's words. First then, arranged by God. Boys and girls, Zacchaeus may have been very, very rich, but his riches didn't make him happy. There was something going on in his heart that made it so that he couldn't rest. We know that his heart is restless because verse 3 states that he wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, this wasn't mere curiosity going on here. We are reading a description of a person prompted by God the Father to seek Jesus. The wooing and pursuing love of God for his lost people ought to amaze us this morning. You see, mere curiosity cannot explain Zacchaeus' actions. First, we observe that he is following a crowd of his fellow Jews to see Jesus. Now think of that. He is a tax collector. He is hated by these people because of that occupation. They look at him as a vile traitor because he works for the Romans. He is seen as a robber of his fellow Israelites. And you can hear it also in the word that they give later in verse 7. He goes to be a guest of a sinner. You can almost smell the hatred of the crowd for him. And yet he persists in following the crowd. And second, we note that he is a short man. Maybe he's about the size of some of you children, maybe bigger. But boys and girls, have you ever tried to go to a parade? And you're not the one that's in the front line, but you're one couple of rows back in the crowd. And you're trying to see the parade, you know, the floats and the clowns and the marching bands. And you're trying to peer through legs and around people. You could barely see. And so it would have been for Zacchaeus. And at times like that, as a child, you might say to your parents, "Let's go home. You know, we can't see anything, forget it." But notice what Zacchaeus does. He keeps following, looking, seeking, trying to get a peek at Jesus. And third, think of him being a rich man. He was well known. He had an important position. He would have dressed, we would guess, well. And yet this growing man doesn't let rich clothes or his dignity get in the way. Like you and boys and girls may want to climb a tree to see, but that's not quite dignified for a rich person to do. And yet he doesn't let that stand in the way. He scrambles up a tree to see Jesus. God the Father has made Zacchaeus' heart restless so that it wouldn't be at peace until he met Jesus. It is as Jesus would say in John chapter 6, verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." How thankful we ought to be, beloved, that God draws those he would save past any roadblock that's in the way, that they might meet, in being brought to Jesus. Notice in verse 5 that the Father not only worked to draw Zacchaeus to Jesus, he also makes sure that Jesus seeks Zacchaeus. Yes, we could say Jesus is just happening by there. He's going from the place where he was through Jericho to Jerusalem. And yet, he goes through that city in this particular way because why? The tree that he must get to meet Zacchaeus was on the other side of town. Look, Jesus stops at the exact spot where this man was. And he looks up and calls Zacchaeus by name, even though he has never been introduced to Zacchaeus. Jesus tells us that this meeting was arranged by his Father in heaven because he says, "Today I must stay at your house." It is God the Father's will that Zacchaeus be saved, and it will happen in this moment that they meet. Beloved in the Lord, let us pause for a moment and think of the amazing, undeserved favor of our God. What has taken place with this child of Abraham, the Father brings about every day throughout the world. Without him drawing people to Jesus and bringing the good news of Jesus to people, no one would be saved. Apart from his work of grace, we would run from God and not to him. We believe in Jesus today only because of his grace, and not because we are so smart or due to the home we are grown up in. It is purely the mercy of God extended toward us that led us and brought us and created in us that which we needed to believe and be those who are true sons and daughters of God in Jesus Christ. Praise him this morning. Stand in awe of him this morning, who does this amazing work in the hearts and lives of sinful men, women, and children like us. In response to Jesus' call, Zacchaeus, you could almost see him jumping down. Like he's down. He's scrambled down. Joyfully receiving Jesus as a guest, showing the beginnings of faith in him. Yet many are not joyful about Jesus being the guest of Zacchaeus. In verse 7, their words tell us that the salvation Jesus is bringing is rejected by them. As you can hear, we've come to our second point, rejected by some. Look there at verse 7. It says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, to grumble. He has gone to be a guest of a sinner. These words should amaze us. Really. These people were part of the crowd going with Jesus to Jerusalem for the Passover. The Passover testified to their need of God's mercy. It reminded them of how the Lord rescued them from slavery and from under Pharaoh's rule. That was a picture of the Lord delivering his people from slavery to sin and the rule of the evil one. The blood of the Lamb spread on the doorpost and on the lintel of the door made it so that the angel of death passed over them, passed over the firstborn son of that home, so that he didn't die. And it pointed to them in need of a substitute so that they might escape death. And the Lamb pointed to the Christ, who would be their substitute and die in their place to free them from sin and death. Yet verse 7 shows that they do not see themselves as spiritually needy. They sneer at Zacchaeus and call him a sinner, implying that they do not see themselves at least as bad as him. I sin, but he's a sinner. Jesus is passing through Jericho near the end of his earthly ministry. John the Baptist had said of Jesus that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry that Jesus was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. His entire earthly ministry affirmed that title and the purpose of his life. Here the Lamb stops to rescue the sinner, but these people in the crowd do not rejoice over God's mercy. Instead, they show rejection of Christ when they speak of him as if he is wicked in being the guest of a needy son of Abraham. Again, think of the healing of this blind man that just happened. This crowd, we're to presume that they are the same crowd that followed Jesus up to Jericho and followed Jesus through Jericho to this tree in which Zacchaeus is there. These are witnesses of the healing of that blind man that took place. And the healing had shown that Jesus was the great son of David that the blind man said Jesus was. He was the Savior and is the Savior promised to Abraham, the one pictured in the sacrifices of the Old Testament. He is the one the people in the Old Testament needed to believe in if they were to live forever with God in heaven and enjoy fellowship with him on earth. When Jesus said to the blind man that his faith in Jesus made him well, it proved that Jesus was the Son of David that makes all who believe in him spiritually well. Verse 7 shows that these grumblers in the crowd had praised God for the miracle but failed to get the message. They were in need of the Son of David. They needed the mercy found in him. They did not see themselves as sinners, as those who break covenant with God every day, nor Jesus as the Savior. And so were rejectors of the salvation found in him. He goes to be a guest of a sinner. How could that prophet do that? How could that man do that? Beloved, do we see ourselves this morning, here and now? Do we see ourselves as sinners in need of grace? This question needs to be answered by everyone here, even those who confess faith in Jesus. if you and I are looking down our noses on others because of their particular breaking of God's commandments, it is because you and I think too highly of ourselves. Yeah, we may admit we sin. Yeah, we break God's commandments. But we look at ourselves with pride that we are not so bad as so-and-so. It is like we try to put each other up on some place in the ladder. You know, if you are one who is engaged in a particular breaking of God's laws, that's one that's seen as really horrible. Well, you're below me. If you seem to be that much more sanctified, you're that much above me. And if you're struggling as I'm struggling, you're beside me. But somewhere I'm going to put you on the ladder. Here in that, you're not confessing, really, that you're a spiritual beggar. As Jesus said, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why is it that some in Reformed churches struggle to really be honest with their fellow churchgoer and to come to their fellow churchgoer and say, you know, I'm struggling. I have a good face in church. But you know, during the week, too many times I'm losing it. I'm losing it on the kids, getting angry, showing a temper. I need your prayers. I need your help. I struggle, you may say. You know, the face is on in the morning, church. But I really struggle with pornography. I don't like it. I find it's a struggle. Lured. But we can't say that. Because often we feel, and I think rightfully so, that if we dare to confess our need of help and prayer and someone to hold us accountable and to help us to live the life that we're called to live as Christians, that we would be those who would be looked down upon. That someone would use us as a step to hold themselves up higher than us. We're practicing just like this crowd is doing. We're not really coming to grips with the gospel. I am a sinner. I desperately need grace. You need grace too. Help me and help. Let me help you to walk with Christ, the source of our grace. It's not just seen in the negative, but it ought to be also seen in the positive, where if we are truly needy people and see our need before God for the grace that's received only in Jesus Christ, it'll be seen in our rejoicing. We just heard of a mission team coming back. The gospel going out through them. If we hear of people coming to faith, what does that do to us? Oh, if we're needy, oh, we rejoice. Do you rejoice? Brothers and sisters, do you rejoice? Oh, let us come to grips with the gospel. Let the gospel grip us. And let us turn away from in any way we are reflecting this crowd who rejects the gospel by way of sneering at Jesus as the one who dares to have compassion on sinners. And we reject the gospel and all of its implications when we are looking down our nose at others so that we might elevate ourselves. Well, let us confess this as the sin that it is. For Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. The salvation that Christ is bringing to the house of one of Abraham's sons is arranged by God. It's rejected by some. But Zacchaeus demonstrates that salvation that is received by faith. Received by faith. We see that in verse 8. Zacchaeus stood up. But Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. When Jesus called to Zacchaeus and spoke about going to Zacchaeus' house, Zacchaeus hastily came down from the tree. We don't read of these two actually arriving at Zacchaeus' house. We aren't told about what, if anything, he is taught by Jesus or the amount that he knows about the identity of Jesus. All we see is that he is a changed man as the result of meeting with Jesus. He evidences fruit that points to his faith being true. First, before he takes any steps towards his house, the crowd grumbles against Jesus and against him. And yet, in this moment in which some would fade away, just say, okay, that's how I'm looked upon, I'm just going to go away. No, Zacchaeus turns to Jesus and addresses him as Lord. Now, boys and girls, this is more than him being polite, like saying, sir. No, Zacchaeus believes that Jesus is the great son of David who would judge all of Israel and the world. Jesus is the true king that he bows to. And Luke, under the inspiration of the Spirit, wants us to see that too, in that in prior verses he refers to Jesus again as Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And now he says, Zacchaeus turns to the Lord, implying in that title all that saving knowledge, all that great truth about Jesus being the Savior of sinners. And Zacchaeus uses that term for Jesus. And then we're back to Jesus again. The next sign of faith is that Zacchaeus makes a promise to help the poor. And this showed a change in heart. Selfishness had driven him to steal. But now the Holy Spirit in his heart causes him to give. Notice the present tense. I give half of what I have to the poor. And the final display of his receiving salvation from Jesus by faith is that he repents of his sin. He isn't sorry because of what the crowd has said. He doesn't try to excuse his stealing or rationalize it somehow. Instead, he is sorry for having sinned against God by his actions. Because of grace in his heart, he will restore all that he has taken. And further, he gives more than the law required. 4 times what he had stolen. He didn't care what people thought of him. He admits his sin publicly. He had broken God's commandments, and he would make it right. Again, he speaks in the present, "I restore." And he starts obeying that very day. What about us? The new life we have through faith in Christ cannot help but be shown. Are you, brother and sister, older person or child, or young teenager or adult, are you showing and seeking to show more and more the fruit of that life that has been worked in your heart? I trust that you are. Zacchaeus displayed publicly in his faith in Jesus as Lord, and Jesus now affirms by his proclamation that salvation that has come to Zacchaeus' house. As you can hear, we've come to our final point, affirmed by Christ's words. We find this in verses 9 and 10. Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." When we believe in Jesus, we have received the promises of God's covenant of grace. We have been forgiven of our sins. We have been restored to a right relationship with God in Christ. Yet in verse 9, we are reminded that the covenant is for households. The promise of God's grace in Christ is for you, children, even as it is for we who are adults. Your baptism signed and sealed the promise of that gospel. It proclaimed to you, even though you were a baby and you didn't understand it and you didn't really know what was going on, God wanted to give and did put his sign and seal on you that testified that as sure as water makes our bodies clean of dirt, so too you can know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sins. And it must be an aim of all who spread the gospel to seek the salvation of those whole families, teaching them that this promise of grace is for the whole family. But although God's covenant is for households, it can't be entered into by households. Jesus says he also is a son of Abraham. The family wasn't saved by this man's belief. They had to believe in Jesus even as you children as well need to believe to become children of Abraham through faith in Jesus. This was the way even Abraham was saved from God's wrath, by faith in the coming Christ. So too, each and every one of us needs to cling to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. Children, young and older, your baptism calls you to this faith, to believe in Jesus, to cling to him. And Jesus makes this proclamation about salvation coming to Zacchaeus' house, not just for this man's sake. It was also so that the crowd would see that just as Jesus saved the blind man and saved this chief tax collector, he could save sinners like them. He even declares to the crowd his mission purpose. He had come to seek and to save people like those in the crowd, people who without faith in Jesus would be lost in hell. Verse 10 is a declaration He is going to Jerusalem in the next few days. And he would offer up himself as an offering on the cross for sinners. He would earn complete salvation for all whom the Father had given him to save. This included the gift of regeneration and true faith, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the grace to persevere in faith until we go to meet with him in heaven. This one who was treading his way to Jerusalem would seek out all his people, even as he did Zacchaeus. He still effectively seeks his people lost in sin, bringing them to faith in himself. What is to be our response to what we see in Jericho? We are to give humble praise to the God of grace and mercy, who brings salvation to sinners like us, even as he brought salvation to the home of Zacchaeus, the son of Abraham. Amen. Let us pray.